Good evening, everyone. May I have your attention, please? We're about to start the program this evening, so if everyone could take their seats and we can get started. Welcome to the National Braille Press Board of Trustees annual meeting, and welcome to the members listening in on our first ever live broadcast. We're very excited at this opportunity to be able to broadcast the annual meeting to those across the country, those of our members who are and trustees across the country who support our organization and support our mission. And we're really excited that they can participate today. So we'll be able to get some feedback after the program to see how successful it was. But thank you again. I'd also like to thank the board and members of the corporation, and of course our special guests, our volunteer award winners from KPMG, Amber Bobner of wonderbaby.org, and our keynote speaker, Janet Ulwick-Zacker, who's a trustee. I wanted to also hope that you had an opportunity to walk around and see the Inside NBP exhibition. This is an opportunity for you to learn some of the great work that NBP is doing, specifically our Great Expectations program. This is an opportunity to bring picture books to life through the publications that are provided to children, and by providing them an opportunity to experience the children's story through song and dance and experiences. So the two books that the Great Expectations program have completed so far is our Dragons Love Tacos book and The Day the Crayons Quit. Secondly, we'd also like for you to take a look at the Reach for the Stars program. This is a tactile graphic overlay on an iPad with an auditory input option. And this program was designed for students while they're researching the planets and the stars to get an experience in terms of feeling what the information is that they're researching. And this program was put together by NASA to inspire students who might be interested in careers in science. And lastly, there's a lot of large print and braille menus that NBP provides for organizations like Starbucks, Wendy's, Legal Seafoods, and lots of other organizations. So if you haven't, please take an opportunity at the end of the program to walk around and see some of the great work that NBP is doing. I'd like to share with you some of my experiences as my first year as chairman of the board at NBP. What has been very important to me is that I have become more proud of the organization than I was before. I'm very proud of the committed employees at NBP. You see them working very hard every day, and this year was a challenging year for the organization, and those employees put their nose to the grindstone, made things happen, and ended up having a successful year. So it's wonderful to be able to be proud of such a committed organization. I'm also really proud of Brian and his commitment to this organization. Brian pours his heart out day after day, ensuring that the operations are running smoothly, focusing on the evolving technological community, making sure that Braille literacy is out there as part of our mission, and he's extremely committed to making that be successful. And he does that through many of his technology endeavors and research. I'm also really proud to be a member of this elite blind community, blind and sighted community of individuals. I wanted to share with you an experience that I had this year to explain why I feel that this is such an elite community to be a part of. Through Joe Quintanilla's, as the director of Vice President of Development, his program called Because Braille Matters, these programs are luncheons that he hosts around the country. And this year we hosted one in Philadelphia in April. And this is an opportunity for both blind and sighted individuals who are part of the organization, who buy books and services from NBP, teachers, educators, ministers, whoever are of those who are part of our community, get an opportunity locally to come meet other individuals and also get an opportunity to find out what's happening at NBP. And so at this program, I got to meet some great people. There were great friends of MBP who attended. And specifically, my daughter, who's a college student at Bryn Mawr, hosted the event along with her blind friend, Lizzie, and together they put a fantastic program together. Included as part of this program, we invited Suzanne Erb. She was a class member of the class of 1978 from Bryn Mawr College. And she got up and spoke about her experiences as a college student at Bryn Mawr and then her experiences today as a member of the community. And what was so fascinating was to hear her and Lizzie explain what their lives are like in terms of how similar they are today going to college and how different they are in terms of going to college from 1978. And it really made me feel that these two individuals who are so talented can bring so much eliteness to a community, and I was very honored to participate. I'd like to also share with you some invitations to get involved with NBP if you're not doing so already. We have some great trustees and members here today, and I wanted to share with you some opportunities to get involved with NBP. The first one is you can follow us on social media. Share our stories. So every opportunity you have to tell the story of NBP or your experiences NBP, I would like you to do so, and do that by following us on Facebook and Twitter. Also look at our NBP blog. That can be found on the website. And also we get our NBP email e-news via email. If you're not signed up to get that, please do so. If you know individuals in the community who might want to benefit from getting communications from NBP, please have them sign up. There's also volunteer opportunities to get involved in NBP. You can do this by helping us put Braille books together. It's a great opportunity for you, friends, family, children to come and volunteer to help put the books together. My children have done it and speak very fondly of it many years later after doing it. So it's a great opportunity to bring people into the organization to learn about what's happening at NBP. And this happens once a month, so look for the schedule. And if this is something you want to volunteer to do, it's a great experience. There's also an opportunity to become a literacy champion. And you can do this by making a donation to NBP every month on a regular basis. And by doing this, you're able to support many of the programs that NBP does, like our Braille Books program. And you can by making these contributions, you're helping to make those affordable. The Literacy Champion program was started 5 years ago, and to date, we already have 57 members who are participating. So we're really excited about the number and always looking to grow and enhance that. Another way you can participate is also through our Million Laughs for Literacy Gala. We are hosting that this year on November 12th. We do that every year. And this is an opportunity to come and learn more about what NBP does, meet great individuals, have a good laugh, and participate in helping to fundraise for NBP. Lastly, you can also participate in our Blindfold Challenge, which I've done so happily for the past 8 years with my son. It's a great experience. This happens the weekend of the marathon, and we got a great group of people to run blindfolded through the streets of Boston and raise money for NBP. So a great opportunity to participate. So lastly, I just ask you to share our message with your friends and your family about the importance of Braille literacy, and as well as those who you may not have contacted yet about the importance of our mission, letting them know what we do. So thank you again for all of your support. Thank you for coming out here today. I'd like to ask our nominating committee chairman, Mike Brown, to join me on stage as we do the business portion of the meeting.
It's bright up here. Thank you, Cliff. The nominating committee is charged with nominating trustees, members, and also members of the various committees that we'll be discussing. And we have been working since March to try to put together folks who are not only interested in what we do, but hopefully can add to the efficacy of what we do. And we think we've accomplished that.
Before we do so, I just would like to state for the record that our business portion of the annual meeting of the members of the corporation is now convened.
I'm glad you read that script. There you go. Okay. So what happens under the bylaws is that we convene the meeting of the members, and they vote on the trustees. When that's done, then Cliff will convene the annual meeting of the trustees, and they will vote on the members and the various committees. So now we're going to be voting on the two groups of trustees. One group has been nominated to continue on for another three-year term as trustee. You can serve two consecutive three-year terms. Then you're asked to take a year's vacation. And then if you'd like to come back, you can, as we're having people do that tonight. So the four being nominated for their second three-year term are Chris Babcock, Tara Gerhart, Lotfi Maribet, and Paul McLaughlin. Those being nominated for their first three-year term as trustee include three people that have been our trustees in various offices. Paul Parovano, a former chair, Bill Rader, former president, and Neil Rosen, a former trustee. Added to those three returning stalwarts, two exciting people that have volunteered to come on our board. One is a woman by the name of Lisa Maria Martinez. She is a literacy champion and a director of community services at the Lighthouse for the Blind in San Francisco. She's an active member in the blindness community out there and serves on various boards and committees. The second nominee coming on to our board for the first time is Matt Richardson. He's currently a management and budget analyst for the Boston Housing Authority. He's a very active member of the Lions Club, both on a local and national level. And he has been a participant in National Braille Press volunteer projects since the late 1990s. And we're very excited to include Lisa Maria and Matt in the nomination for those serving their first three-year term as trustee.
So now I'd like to call for a motion and a vote. Would somebody like to make a motion?
Somebody please move or our whole work is done.
Is it seconded?
Seconded.
Thank you. All in favor? Anyone opposed? Thank you. The annual meeting of the members is now adjourned, and the annual meeting of the trustees is now convened for the purpose of electing officers and committee members.
So as far as the offices are concerned, we would nominate Cliff Watkin to serve another term as chair, Nick Raciotis as another term as vice chair, Paul McLaughlin as treasurer, and Shelley O'Neill to continue as our clerk. The executive committee is made up of those four officers, plus we're nominating Chris Babcock to be on the five-person executive committee. We also are charged by the bylaws to nominate the investment committee, and the investment committee this year will be chaired by, if you all agree, by Bill Hayes. He will work with David Atala, Greg Fowler, John Goppelrude, David Kennedy, Paul McLaughlin, Neil Rosen, Cliff Watkin, and Dick Willis. The last committee we are nominating is the nominating committee. I will continue as chair, along with Sue Amater, Shelley O'Neill, Julie Pirog, and Cliff Watkin. We also are nominating the following people to be members of the corporation. These include both people who are leaving our board after serving 2-3-year terms, as well as some very exciting new people. Their names are as follows: Joanne Becker, Alco Canfield, Chris Cavallarano, Jane Donahue, Jennifer Dunham, Greg Fowler, Tim Fulham, David Kennedy, Scott Marshall, Scott McGrath, Marissa Parker, Matt Sullivan, and Christine Zostak.
I'd like to call for a motion and a vote. Any seconds? Thank you. All in favor? Any opposed? Thank you.
Let me just put in a non-scripted appeal. It is a rather daunting task when we sit down in the spring and try to figure out whom we might ask to join us in our effort. And so let me ask everyone here tonight, member or trustee, as I've already asked the trustees earlier this afternoon, if you come across people that share your passion for what we do, if you come across people whom you feel would be effective in helping us all do what we do, please let any of us know, Brian at the press or Joe Q, any of us, we'll be on them. And we thank you very much in advance for your help in that effort. Thank you.
And as a second, thank you, Mike. As a second appeal, for those of you who have been members of the organization and participated, and those of you who have been trustees and are participating, and our new members who are joining, we'd like to involve you and engage you in the work that NBP is doing. And we'd like to invite you to an event that we're hosting on September 23rd at NBP in the evening from 5 to 7. And this is an opportunity for all the members of the corporation and the trustees and individuals from NBP to get together and learn about who we are and some of the expertise that we have that we might be able to share with the organization in helping NBP achieve its mission. So I invite all of you to attend this event. You'll receive invitations to it shortly, but specifically for those of you who are participating remotely to the event today, there will be an opportunity for all of you to participate in our event on the 23rd remotely. And this will give an opportunity for all members of the corporation and chair and trustees to participate remotely as well. So thank you. I'd like to now welcome our president of National Braille Press, Brian McDonald.
Thank you, Brian. Thank you, Cliff. Welcome, everybody, and I want to thank you for coming tonight, but I also want to thank those people that are listening for the first time as we stream this live over the web, which is pretty cool. I don't know any numbers about it. I'd like to say thousands are listening right now, but I'm not really sure. As we look back to this past year, National Braille Press had a lot to celebrate on many fronts. First, it was our 30th anniversary of our Children's Braille Book Club. Kate Crohan and Diane Croft are in here, and they were instrumental in this process. But it's famous for creating that print Braille book that many of you certainly know today, and that has touched the lives of countless families and supported Braille literacy for over two generations, so we're really proud of that. As you'll hear more in a little bit from Janet Albuck-Sock, our trustee, we did launch Great Expectations, which is really a great multi-sensory way of getting kids and parents engaged in books, and I'll let Janet talk a lot more about that. We continue with our technology books that have been very popular over the last few years. We did last year another on iOS 8, and we did a new book that was launched on everything you need to know to use the Mac with Yosemite and VoiceOver, and many other books like that. And we also produced our mainstream books on general topics of information. We last year brailled Christine Ha, the Master Chef winner, on her book on recipes from my kitchen, Asian and American comfort food. And two of our original publications, Out of Sight Science Experiments and our Stir It Up Cookbook, won an IBBY Award, I-B-B-Y, which was really exciting for us in 2015. And that stands for International Board of Books on Blind People for Blind Children, Blind People. So it's a really nice book award for young people with disabilities. National Braille Press was also a leader in introducing the transition that is still going on American English Braille to UEB, Unified English Braille Code. And officially it rolls out, for those that don't know that, in January of 2016. But we started in January of 2015 with the launch of SCW, our publication in UEB, for the first time. And since then, we launched our Children's Braille Book Club in it, and we'll be doing our special periodical in July on it, too. Plus, we created this great reference sheet or cheat sheet for our readers to learn the differences in UEB as far as getting to know it a little bit with the differences in the code. As expected, our staff are really well trained in UEB and every format, so we continue to provide that high quality Braille that we're known for, and we're prepared for anything as these transitions occur, not just in our literary books, but in education and tests and textbooks as well. Some of you may not know that NBP is one of the largest producers of standardized tests in the US. Everything from the Common Core that you're hearing about a lot today is a high school graduation exam, but also for college entrance exam boards as well. And this past year, we had an amazing year, and we produced 100,000 tactile graphics for that business and doing digital tests as well. And that record year actually helped us create a positive cash flow in the black for the end of the year, which was amazing. So we also invested in NBP this past year in two areas: equipment, capital equipment. We bought another Braillo embosser from Norway that's a fairly large high-speed device. We upgraded one, and we bought a laser cutter to work on creating high-quality tactile graphics as we work in those areas for both efficiency and better resolution of graphics. And we hired a human capital. We hired a lot more people to help with our output of capacity, both in Braille production, in our collating and bindery areas, and also in our education areas to get more sales administration support so we can get more business out there. Development had a changing of the guard. Joe Quintanilla became our new vice president. Where is Joe? I don't see him. Oh, there he is. We're excited to have him as our new VP of Development and Major Gifts. And we have a solid team in place ready to focus on our fundraising capacity. As Cliff mentioned also, this successful program we started a year and a half ago on, I call it the NBP Traveling Roadshow, but it's Why Braille Matters, book luncheons, club luncheons, has been really successful. We visited last year Los Angeles, San Francisco, Mountain View, California, Seattle, Washington, and Washington, D.C. And as Cliff said, we already went to Bryn Mawr, and those that are going to be in New York City on July 16th, the Big Apple is next. I want to thank our trustees, especially, that have provided us the resources and the locations for these venues and supported us with the luncheons as well. They've been amazingly successful. If you're in any of these cities, I urge you to visit and join us, and we'll keep you updated on those in the future. So it's been really an amazing experience for people to see. Throughout my comments, you probably heard these subtle references to technology. Web streaming tonight, our technology books, digital tests, laser cutters. It's inescapable. Technology is everywhere now. And through our Center for Braille Innovation, which started many years ago now, National Braille Press has been the technology broker looking to find these new emerging solutions and synergy with them so that we can really solve these e-Braille issues that are coming up now. How does a blind person take a digital test? How do they look at a digital textbook when these things are transitioning? So we're proud to be working with a number of organizations, including right in our back, right here. Northeastern University is one of them, Michigan, Disney Research, which is out of Pittsburgh with Carnegie Mellon University, and also MIT, our other neighbor across the pond here, across the river. Michigan is working on a way to raise Braille pens in a graphic tablet that uses pneumatics. It could be compressed air or a liquid. And it's using a high-tech solution to do that that is really intriguing and we think has tremendous promise, where instead of making a circuit board in an automated way, it can make this layer of 100 nanometer microtubules that can be controlled with memory and intelligence to raise Braille pins where we want and for tactile graphics or for Braille. MIT is working on a technology that I can't really tell you about. It's so new. It's a new material that they've created they don't even have a name for yet. And it's got a lot of industrial applications and amazing capacity, but they want to work with us first on creating a Braille device before they make it into jet engines and all these other things they have. So we're really proud to be working with them on that. And Disney Research is working on a tablet a tablet that has electrostatic haptics, which means when you touch that glass surface, you're feeling textures and height and different qualities of an image that isn't obviously really there, but your nerve is getting tricked to feel that. So we're doing a lot of great research with them. Next week we'll be in San Diego at a national conference on student assessments where we'll be having a booth and we're presenting there, and Disney's equipment will be there for us to demonstrate that as long as with Michigan's. So we're really excited about these potential because it's evolving mainstream technologies into our particular needs for the blind and low vision world. Tablets also have color already for contrast for low vision people, not just for totally blind people. And we're really excited about the potential for the future of these developments. So we're looking, as I said, as an information broker, because every method we do might have some weaknesses in certain parts of it, but when we collectively pull them together, we might have the perfect product. So we're really excited about that. So we plan on keeping this momentum going. We had a great year last year. As Cliff said, it was a challenging year. We had a lot of things to overcome, but we successfully did it. We plan on keeping the momentum going this year with all these exciting, dynamic things that are going on. I certainly want to publicly, in this forum here and on the web, if people are listening, recognize the support of our trustees who really have cared so deeply about our mission, and many of them are transitioning off today, which we will miss, and we hope they all come back. And we're also committed to our staff that are so dedicated to our work, and they work very hard, long hours, and they've done an amazing job, and I'm really confident that with their help and the adjustments we made this past year, we will be more nimble and more strategic and adapting to every challenge and opportunity there is so that we can grow and deliver that message on eBraille and Braille literacy. So I really appreciate you being here tonight. I thank you for coming and all of your support. Thank you. Cliff is coming up, so in 1 minute, we're going to take a few moments to honor our 7 retiring trustees and embarrass them, and whose dedication at BP is immeasurable. So Joanne Becker, Jane Donahue, Chris Cavarlano, and Dave Kennedy, please join us on the stage first.
Thank you all for your service.
I don't get to hide?
No hiding.
No hiding.
Okay.
This is your moment to be embarrassed. Chris Cavallarano, you've been actively involved with NBP, serving as our clerk and on the executive development and nominating committees, while still helping in many other capacities for special events. Some of you may recall Chris's epic running of the 2012 Boston Marathon, blindfolded, during one of those freak years where the Boston Marathon reached a temperature of close to 90 degrees. Our hats off to you for doing that wonderful effort. We're very grateful for your leadership, your strategic thinking, and support. Thank you, Chris.
Jane. Jane Donahue, you have been an amazing advocate and supporter of National Bar Press over the years. Jane has been on our executive committee, always providing sound guidance and advice and support. And as an executive vice president at State Street Bank, which she's now retired, she was always leveraging and networking our financial opportunities on behalf of NBP. She co-chaired our gala multiple times and demonstrated another one of her amazing skills as a volunteer storybook reader at one of the outreach events that we did. And I, on a personal note, can say how grateful and personally I appreciate that Jane would literally read every word that I sent to the board. Is that true or not? Which is a lot of material. She says, I can't help it, I was an auditor. So, but we appreciate all your help, Jane. Thank you very much.
And Joanne Becker, who wasn't able to join us this evening, you consider Braille to be a critical life skill, which is why you joined NBP and the board in 2009. She has been actively waving her auction paddle at NBP galas, demonstrating both a fiscal and personal commitment to NBP's mission. As a technology trainer at Perkins, Joanne has contributed a substantial perspective to our ongoing technical initiatives. We've benefited from her innate intelligence, her charm, and her considerable support. Thank you, Joanne.
David. David Kennedy, you have been an amazing supporter of National Press in a number of numerous capacities over the years. He was the first co-chair of our gala, a long time ago. Vice chairman on our board, on the executive committee, chairman of our development committee for the past 14 years. He was also chairman on the investment committee the last couple of years and served on the fiscal and audit committee as well. For extracurricular activities, David also has been a blindfold challenge runner and guide for many 5Ks, more than his knees would like to remember. And more importantly, David has been a true gentleman, serving our mission with the greatest respect. Thank you very much, David.
Thank you, David. Tim Fulham, who's also not here today, is co-manager of Fulham & Company, a firm that invests in manufacturing companies under two investment funds. Tim has been a supporter of NBP since he first joined the board and a member of the investment committee for the past 6 years. We appreciate his skills, expertise, and appreciate his years of service. Thank you, Tim.
Greg Fowler is in Mountain View, California, and I hope he's listening right now. He was on our board meeting earlier today. Greg Fowler, he's been involved with us for many years before he was even on our board. He's been a very dedicated advocate, generous sponsor and supporter of our work at National Braille Press. He helped us when we started the Center for Braille Innovation a long time ago and was an active participant there. He's attended CSUN conferences, which is a technology conference that's very well known, and we've met him there many times in California. And he's participated in conference calls at our time at 5:30 and 6:30 in the morning, his time. He night or day, it doesn't matter, he was always on a call with us. He's been very, very religious about it and making NBP a critical part of his life. And we're grateful for Greg for being active, and he's still going to serve as a member on our investment committee and our technology committees even going forward this year. So thank you very much, Greg, if you're listening.
And finally, Matt Sullivan has known NBP since he was a young boy. The Sullivan family connections go back over 40 years with his father.
Joe is here, right over there. Thank you. I had to interrupt, sorry.
No, that's okay. I saw him. Joe, the creator of Duxbury Systems, who is here tonight, and his brother Pete, also a former NBP trustee. Matt lives in Brooklyn with his wife, Jen, and their two children, and he has been an ardent supporter of our events both in New York City and in Boston. Matt has been a member of the investment committee for 6 years and has always been someone you can count on for ideas, networking, and support. Thank you, Matt. See you soon in the Big Apple.
Thank you, all of you, again, and thank you for those that are listening online as well. Let's give them one more round of applause. At this point, I want to hug people. At this point, I want to invite Janet Albrecht-Sacker to come to the stage. Oh, she's queued up already. She's a trustee, a teacher of the visually impaired, and she's on our Great Expectations Committee member, and I hope I didn't wreck her PowerPoint, so we're good to go. Janet, thank you very much.
You did wreck my PowerPoint. There we go. Trustees of National Braille Press, members of the corporation, Brian McDonald, NBP staff, colleagues, and friends, I'm thrilled to introduce to you our Great Expectations program, a simple yet innovative program that brings picture books to life for using a multi-sensory approach. I'm a TVI, a teacher for students with visual impairments, and my role as a TVI is to make sure that students have equal access to the curriculum in school. I have to make sure they are provided with the proper accommodations, teach them their access skills to get at that accommodation, and the direct teaching of skills that we learn incidentally. I graduated from my master's program at Boston College in 1982 with a Perkins Brailler and a 4x6 file box that we made in my methodology class that had a list of resources for us. It was 4x6. And in there was National Borough Press. Now we have so many other resources. We have websites, we have listservs, we have downloadable resources, we have refreshable Braille that we can download as well. But TVI still play a very vital role in coordinating these resources and delivering the skills. Parents have a responsibility also. All of us as parents, those of us who are parents, are responsible for teaching our child age-appropriate skills that will bring them towards independence and become appropriate and functional adults. Not an easy job, and even more challenging when your child learns in a different way. Great Expectations is helping to empower parents to expand on literacy experiences with their children. We give the children the richness of the illustrations through our words. We give parents the knowledge to interpret concepts and build on experiences. They say a picture is worth 1,000 words, but I like to think that 1,001 words is worth a whole lot more than a picture. And in fact, I can describe a picture in many less words than 1,000. I can tell you about a beautiful sunset or the sight of a child hugging a dog, and I can evoke emotions through my words. Just as words cannot really turn into pictures, pictures cannot replace words in terms of their ability to convey clear and mostly unambiguous information. So what is Great Expectations? Well, I ordered the book, the packet that comes from NBP, and I'm going to unpack it for you now. And the first thing I see, and I put up on my PowerPoint, oh, I should explain to you, the Great Expectations logo. It's up on the board for those who can see it, and for those who can't, I will describe. There's a book flying through the air almost like a magic carpet, and the book has Braille that says Great Expectations, and on the book, with lots of synergy and energy, is a young girl with her hands on the Braille and a dog next to her with his hands on the Braille, and they are flying through the air. And it says, bringing picture books to life for blind kids. So I'm unpacking my bag, and the first thing I see is, well, the first thing I want to grab is the book. So it's the book you can grab from, the book you can buy at the bookstore, The Day the Crayons Quit. And the thing I notice first about this book is there's Braille on the book. There's Braille on the front, there's Braille on the back. It's, for those who don't know how we do this, it's plastic overlays with the Braille. The Braille is in the new UEB, which is the Braille we're all learning to move towards, and the special symbols are inside the book. So why did this book get chosen, The Day the Crayons Quit? I think it's a really bold choice. We have addressed that thing that's difficult for a lot of people. Color, drawing, pictures, all those things. We wonder, how do we teach that to a child who doesn't have vision? Why do we teach colors to a child who doesn't have vision? Well, it certainly, color enriches all our lives. Preschools and elementary schools are full of color. Color is a concept that starts right from the beginning. We have to teach this concept to our children who are blind and visually impaired. So we said, in Great Expectations, let's do it. Let's do that book. It's going to be hard, but we can do it. It's our second book, so fortunately we had the experience of the first one behind us. And I speak of we. I'm on a board with a number of people who are here tonight, NBP staff and advisors who are chosen because of their special expertise in working with blind children or as a parent of a blind children or as a blogger about blindness and just a great group of people that we work with to bring all this to life. I'll tell you, all our kids with visual impairments love color. They love to talk about it. They sit down and color. They want to do all of this, our younger children. They're just all over it. So this is a great choice for a book. I'm going to move on to the next thing in my packet. It's a crayon board, and I'm holding it up. And this crayon board's about the size of a piece of paper, 8.5 by 11. And on the left side of the crayon board are large print and brailled color words, black, blue, brown, green, orange, purple, red, yellow. And on the right side of it are the corresponding crayons, which come in the package, triangular crayons. Maybe I would have grabbed that out of the package first. Crayons are great. So, and they fit on the board. And how great is this? So many concepts right off the bat. Organization, a place for everything. Left to right scanning, top to bottom. What kids have to learn to be able to read. Alphabetizing as they get a little bit older. Putting things back in its place, the most important concept here. Another thing in my packet, raised line drawings. So this one's a rainbow, two clouds, and a rainbow coming out of it. They're all raised so that a child who is visually impaired can color within the lines right off the bat, right on with their book as they're going along. And I'm going to move to a page in the book just to show you a little bit about that. So I'm going to move to the red crayon page. I know other people like other pages, but it's the first one that they would come to. So a parent would go to our website, which they receive a card about how, or a parent or a teacher, how to go to the website. And they can download a description already made for them of the page, of the picture. And that's the hard part, I think, for a lot of people. How do I go about describing? What do I say? What are the things that are missing? And the things that are missing are often from the print words that are on the same page are things like emotions, the colors, the size of things, the relationships of things, body language of the things that are being drawn. So all of those things are in a picture book to enhance the words. And you need that. You need to know that as you're reading that book. So we suggest in Great Expectations the parents read the description first. And I'm going to give you the description of this book. You don't even need to see it. The description is, a red crayon leans against a wall. Sweat pours from his tired face. Heart strawberries and apples float in the air as Santa Claus gives a friendly wave from atop a fire engine. So you have the picture in your head. Now I will tell you what the page says. Hey Duncan, it's me, Red Crayon. We need to talk. You make me work harder than any of your other colors. All year long, I wear myself out coloring fire engines, apples, strawberries, and everything else that's red. I even work on holidays. I have to color all the Santas at Christmas and all the hearts on Valentine's Day. I need a rest. Your overworked friend, Red Crayon. The book goes on like this. It's wonderful. You might want to pick it up and read it. It's really fun. So what we've done is give that preview of information. The sweat pouring from the crayon. He's over in the corner tired. And you can talk about that with your child. I've shared this with some teachers, this program, and a preschool teacher. And recently, it's in the bin of books that goes out in the morning, along with all the other books that go out, and a little bunch of magnifiers. In the class, I have a student who's 4 years old, and she is what we call a dual media child. She's learning in both print and braille because she has enough vision to see print, but probably down the road will need to read braille. So she's learning both at this point. She's four. And all the kids are surrounding these books, and I hear them. Kids don't know what the words say. All they're doing is describing the books. It's really wonderful, and their teacher does it all the time, and they're imitating her, and she's getting enriched by this whole experience. It's really great to see. So what we're hoping is that this can happen for so many people, and I, as a TVI, surely hope this happens because it makes my job a whole lot easier if everybody can do this kind of description. So I'm going to bring you to the website, quickly introduce you to that. This is the Great Expectations website. So there's a lot going on here. We have the featured books, which are Dragons Love Tacos and The Day the Crayons Quit. We have videos. And I'm going to go right over to The Day the Crayons Quit. And on The Day the Crayons Quit, we talk about how color is part of our world. And then we have a grid of 9 different links. And these links lead to different activities. So it's like a whole curriculum to go with the book. So parents and teachers can come on the website and immediately have these activities. That we would spend weeks developing, and here they are right at their fingertips. So there's tips for talking about colors, there's tips for reading out loud. There's go ahead, describe the crayon pictures, which I talked about, all the pictures in the book. There's a song, sing the crayon song. Crayon jokes, I'm not gonna go there because kids' jokes are really bad. We have a little contest, write a letter, just like the crayons did, because the book is full of letters. I can show you quickly, draw, paint, and color is make your own sweet-smelling finger paints, which are made with Kool-Aid, and give a smell to every paint. We give resources. What do you do? How do you color if you're visually impaired? Well, we make screen boards, and the kids put the paper on the screen board, and when the crayon goes on the paper, it raises automatically from the screen. It's a very simple, old device we've been using since my little resource box back there at BC. So we give suggestions of how to make that, or if you don't want to make it, we give you suggestions of where to buy it. This advisory committee and the staff at NBP come up with everything. We came up with so much stuff we couldn't even fit it all on the website that to give resources to parents. I'm going to go back. We have a hand jive game of categories, and I'm hoping the sound will come up on this okay.
Categories.
Names of green foods.
Broccoli. Zucchini.
So they're playing categories, they're doing green foods.
Lettuce.
And doing it on a rhythm type of thing. So we're teaching rhythm, we're teaching thinking ahead, and then talking about the colors of green. This is a group of kids I work with, and they had a lot of fun with it. Go back. And we have a color wheel game. So with each book, we try to put together this kind of resources that parents can make a game, and we have a child playing the game on here as well. And having a great time. So the staff and this advisory group, we brought our expertise together to try to create this literacy-based curriculum with lesson plans. That's really how I see it. It's a curriculum. We bring the popular picture books to life using a multi-sensory approach, songs, tactile play, picture descriptions, body movement, sensory experiences, engaged listening, all the things that we need to teach kids with visual impairments, all designed to just promote those experiences for them. And it teaches parents and teachers how to become better describers and active participants in their child's learning process. We're hoping to produce, or we will be producing, four more books along, I think two a year is the plan at this point. And during that time, also evaluating how this is working for parents and look forward to seeing if this is truly changing the lives of the kids. I think it definitely will. So I hope you will explore the website, and I thank you for your time.
Thank you, Janet, for your contributions as a trustee and member of the Great Expectations Committee. We would now like to honor some of our outstanding volunteers this past year who have dedicated their time and their enthusiasm to the mission of MBP. First, I'd like to present this year's Corporate Partner Volunteer Award to the tax audit and advisory firm of KPMG. And would like to invite the partner Mary Krelis to the stage. Over the years, KPMG has not only been a sponsor of our Million Laughs for Literacy Gala, but their employees have spent countless hours volunteering, putting together selections of our Children's Braille Book Club, a program powered by tremendous volunteers and support. So Mary, please accept our thanks, this award, and Braille Children's Book dedicated to your team's honor.
Thank you, sir.
I just want to take a moment to read what's on the award. National Braille Press presents its 2015 Volunteer Award to KPMG in appreciation of their dedication to Braille literacy through their outstanding volunteerism and generous philanthropy.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Take a picture.
Diane, there you are. How are you?
Good.
Good to see you. Thank you.
Okay. Hi. Well, I'm very happy to present this award to a very deserving individual, Amber Bobner. I met Amber in 2009 after discovering her website, Wonder Baby, which is on the screen behind me, which she started 10 years ago for parents who have blind children. And I could see right away it was creative, it was smart, it was sensitive. And obviously I'm not the only one who thinks that. Today, Wonder Baby has over 17,000 followers on Facebook. Her posts reach 100,000 people a week, 7,000 followers on Pinterest, and 1,400 on Twitter. But that hadn't happened yet 6 years ago when I met Amber. I called her up because I saw the website and I thought she could help me evaluate a product we were thinking about bringing out. So I asked her if I could come over and meet her and her son, Ivan, who's blind. And she doesn't know this, but that day I packed a bunch of other goodies, some tactile books and graphic books and all kinds of things I was excited about presenting to Ivan. And when I arrived that day, I met Ivan, who was 4. He was blind, nonverbal, and unable to sit up on his own. And I was so surprised, I actually never took those gifts out of the bag. But I look back now, and I see that I only saw this little bit of Ivan, like a little pinprick in a piece of paper. And it was my preconceived notions of Ivan and what I was expecting of Ivan. But Amber was looking through a kaleidoscope, and all she saw were the possibilities. And if we place the imagination at the center of creativity, which I do, then that's what Amber has given to MBP. I can only take time to cite 3 examples in ways that she's helped us. One is we have a Read Books program, which are free literacy bags that we give out to kids. And we noticed that teachers were signing up, but parents weren't. So I said, Amber, take a look and tell us what we're doing wrong. So she took it apart word for word and rewrote the sections that needed attention, and our referrals from parents shot up. 2, Amber runs a very creative raffle on her website. It's actually ingenious. Wish I'd thought of it. What she does is she showcases a product. In this case, she was showcasing our new program, The Day the Crayons Quit. And she offers, it's a raffle, so parents sign up, they want to win the free book or whatever the product is. And someone wins it. But the big thing is that she gets the word out to all these people about all these great products that they're interested in. So it works for the people on who are winning, who are knowing about the resources, and of course it works for us. So 1 year she decided to do our Print Braille Valentines, which we've offered for many years. But the first year she did it, we sold out that year. And the next year we had to move the numbers up. And then a year ago, when we were starting the Great Expectations program, we engaged a company called Fable Vision, a very creative educational company downtown. And they said that in addition to Kimberly and myself, we could bring 2 people, a teacher and a parent. So of course we invited Amber. And we had a 4-hour jam session talking about the program. And with 7 of their creative people, including the president of the company, they were all very excited about Great Expectations. And Amber had to leave early to pick up Ivan, and the president of the company turned to me and said, "Who is that?" And I said, "The smartest person in the room." And he said, "That's for sure." So these are the talents that Amber has brought to National Braille Press. When you go to the website, you'll see these extraordinary pin ads, I'm not sure what you call them, banners. You see, I'm not a social media maven. She creates these amazing, colorful things you can pin and put up on Facebook to promote our program. And our website numbers just look extraordinary. They're really very beautiful. And so thanks to Amber, I no longer think of Ivan as the boy who couldn't sit up or speak or read Braille. Ivan is not any preconceived notion. Ivan is just Ivan, and I now see him as his mom does. He's perfect. Please come up, Ivan. Amber, accept your word. National Braille Press presents its 2015 Volunteer Award to Amber Bobnar in appreciation of her enormous creative talents, exceptional contributions to the advancement of literacy for blind children and their families through the Great Expectations Program.
Thank you so
much. Congratulations.
Thank you.
That concludes our evening tonight. I wanted to thank you again for all coming out and participating tonight. I wanted to also thank the staff at MBP for putting on such a great event. A great round of applause, please. Thank you all, and have a great evening.